That phrase, then came the word of God, appears five times. Two right at the beginning of the book, and then four other times, and it's the beginning of four messages that Haggai has for the people there. And whenever we look at those four messages that he has, we're going to see, I think, try it again and see if it'll go down for me. First, his message is to them about their delay, which is putting self before God, and then discouragement, that was one of the hindrances to God's work, and all of these four messages that he gives them, he's giving them four hindrances to people doing God's work, and then defilement, not confessing our sin, that will hinder us doing God's work, and then not trusting him, looking to the problems we have, rather than to the Word of God. And so before we look at those, just a little bit of history, and then I'll pray. In 536, Ezra took 50,000 Jews. He returned to the Holy Land. They rebuilt the altar, and they started the sacrifices again. So they built the foundation there in 535, and then there was opposition, and the work of the Lord was hindered. And so that's why Haggai is writing to them to tell them that they need to get over those hindrances and begin to work for the Lord again and complete what God had told them to do. And then in 520, they did. They took up the work again. And in 515, the temple was completed under the direction of four godly people. And we see these four people in Haggai, Zerubbabel, who was the governor, and Joshua. Yes, there was a politician who was godly there, and Joshua the high priest, Haggai and Zechariah the prophets there. And so let's pray, and we'll look at these four messages that Haggai has for the people as he wants to awaken God's people to overcome the four hindrances to finishing God's temple. Father, we pray that you would speak to our hearts through your word. As we look at the people here in Haggai's day and things that hindered them from doing your work can often hinder us from doing what you have for us. So help us to listen to these messages that Haggai had for the people there and apply it to our hearts as well. In Christ's name, amen. The first thing he talks to them about is delay. As we go through this in verses 1 and 2, it says, in the second year of Darius, the king, the sixth month, the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord, there's that phrase, came the word of the Lord, or the word of God, by Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, the people say, and here's their delay, their procrastination, the time is not yet, the time that the Lord's house should be built. And so here they have this delay. No more excitement. Whenever they first entered the land, they started the foundation. There was the excitement, and all of those things are starting to wear off. And if we're not careful as Christians, that can happen with us. The excitement of being new in Christ and serving Him, if we're not careful, things can just be kind of, you know, same old kind of thing, and not have the excitement there. And so he's telling them they need to be diligent, and they need to go about finishing the temple here, and God honors that. So in 520, he delivers this first message, and this is 16 years after the foundation had been laid there, and they had stopped building. And so he talks to them in verses 4 through 7 about selfishness, because their delay and doing what they should have been doing for God was caused because they were doing what they needed to do for self. And we all have those tendencies to be self-centered and selfish. We see it easily in toddlers when we're trying to teach them, you know, about sharing and looking after others there. But that's our own tendency here. And so he says in verse 4, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses? Those would be like the luxurious homes. They had time to add all the bells and whistles to their homes, as we would say. Verse 5, he says, now therefore, saith the Lord, consider your ways. You've sown much, bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, you're not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there's none warm. He that earns wages to put in a bag with holes. You ever feel that way? You're earning wages and it's just going in a bag with holes. And so he's saying here, because of their selfishness here, and all of the excuses, living for self doesn't satisfy. They were living for self and they weren't having their needs met here. And delaying and making excuses, people can do that easily and live for self. You know, in baseball, whenever, there are extra innings, it's exciting. And football, when there's overtime, there's excitement. But in church, when things are going overtime, it doesn't seem to be quite the excitement, does it, there? And you look at these sports and baseball, whether it's in July and 100 degrees and people sitting out sometimes if it's raining and the heat, and football, you see that on TV and it's snowing and ice and people, 40, 50,000 fans in the, watching in the cold there. I'm glad I'm a baseball fan instead of a football fan, because there's no way possible I'd sit out in the cold like that with snow coming down. But the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. But verse 6 says they weren't getting any of these things because of their selfishness. And whenever we are living for self and we're delaying to do what God has for us, there's spiritual starvation here. He says in verse 8, go up to the mountain and bring wood and build a house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. You look for much, verse 9, and lo, it came to little. When you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because my house is waste, that you run every man into his own house. Therefore, the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit, and I call for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, upon the new wine, upon the oil, and the ground beneath it, and upon men, and upon cattle, upon the labor of the lands. God is saying there was a spiritual starvation. And whenever we are more interested in meeting our own selfish needs than we are in seeking first the kingdom of God, we are like the people here that Haggai is addressing as well. When we delay to do what God wants us to do for him and put self first, we're going to lose. We're going to have spiritual starvation. Well, they heeded the message, and we see that in verse 12. Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, notice the word, obeyed. They obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai. And then in verse 13, Haggai spake the Lord's messenger and the Lord's message upon the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the high priest, and the spirit of the remnant, and they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts. And they realized that their delay, that their procrastination, that their attention to self before the Lord was wrong. And so Haggai had a successful message to them. But we come to chapter 2, and we see another hindrance to doing the work of the Lord, and that is the work of discouragement there. And discouragement is a sin. The command that the Lord gives us in the Bible several times is be strong in the Lord. And that's the opposite of being discouraged. And here it is in chapter 2, verse 1. We won't take time to go back to Leviticus, but this is the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. And on this last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, there should have been joy and praise going on. But instead, they were discouraged, and they had wrong remembrances. It says in verse 2, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the high priest, and the residue of the people. Verse 3, say this, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory, and how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison as it is nothing? And so they were looking at the temple of Solomon, And they're saying, boy, we remember that temple. That was a whole lot better than what we have today there. And they were remembering some things from the past. Now, it's not wrong for us to remember things from the past, is it? But it's wrong for us to live in the past. And that's what they were doing. God has new blessings for them. He has something new for them. And the glory of the old temple was great. But God says, I have something better for you there. If you will trust me and quit living for yourself and stop delaying and stop being discouraged and forget the past and all of those failures, forget the past and all of those blessings, I have something new and fresh. Not only were they remembering the past, they were making comparisons. You know, we can do that if we're not careful, can't we? We can compare, you know, material things, houses, compare spouses, compare children, compare spiritual gifts, and start saying, boy, I wish I had this, what this person has. And that's what they were doing. They were making these comparisons here. And the Lord has another temple to be built one day, doesn't he? In the millennial kingdom. And that kingdom is going to be better than even what they were looking back to with the Solomon's temple there. And so what he's saying here is, don't be discouraged. The best is yet to come. God has a wonderful plan. He has a wonderful temple, and we need not be discouraged. Verse 4, need to be strong, as he says here. And so he continues in verse 5, according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you, fear not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. That's Christ. And I will fill this house with glory. One of these days, Christ is coming, and he's going to be dwelling in the temple, and the saints are going to be there. And in verse 9 it says, and in this place will I have peace. They didn't have peace. They were defeated because they were selfish. They were defeated because they were discouraged. But God says, I have something better for you than the way that you're living now. Don't live in the past. God says, I have something new for you. Well, he continues his message. Then came the word of God to them a third time. And in chapter 2, beginning at verse 10, he says, in the 24th day of the ninth month, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, ask now the priests concerning the law, saying, and here's the question they're to ask, if one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with his skirt do touch bread or pottage or wine or oil or meat, shall it be holy? And the priest answered and said, no. And so as we think about this defilement sanctifying something that's common, it's not going to be sanctified because it touches something that is holy there. And so, you know, just because a person lives in a Christian nation doesn't mean that he's a Christian. Just because a person is born into a Christian home doesn't mean that child is a Christian there. And so that was the question that was being asked here, that holiness is not something that is contagious, but defilement is. He continues with the question in verse 13. Haggai said, if one man that is unclean by a dead body touch any of these, shall it be unclean? And the priest answered and said, it shall be unclean. And so there is a contaminating of the holy. And so we see something that's contagious. Sin, contamination, defilement, disobedience. Those things are contagious. Think about it this way. If you are sick and you know somebody who is healthy, I mean really healthy, hasn't been to the doctor in years, it just doesn't have any. So now you say, oh, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go hang around that person. that way I can catch his healthiness. It just doesn't work that way, does it? But if somebody is sick with a contagious disease and you're around that person, you will catch that. And so that's what he's saying here, that holiness, godliness, is not contagious. You're not going to be that way just because someone else is. It is a personal decision that we make, but defilement can contaminate others as well. And they were missing out on God's blessings because they had unconfessed sin. And whenever we have unconfessed sin in our lives, regardless of what it is, whether it's thoughts or immorality or words or whatever it may be, when we have unconfessed sins in our lives, we hinder the progress of God working. And that's what Haggai is saying to the people there. With your delay, you're hindering God's work. With your discouragement, you're hindering God's work. With your defilement, you're hindering God's work. Look at verse 15. Let's start reading there a little bit. Notice the word consider. You'll see it three times beginning at verse 15. And this is in connection to their defilement. He says, "And now I pray you, consider. From this day and upward, both before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple, that is before the foundation, since those days were when one came to a heap of 20 measures, there were but 10, when one came to the wine vat for to draw out 50 vessels of the press, there were but 20. I smote you with blasting and with mildew and with hail and all the labors in your hands. Yet you turn not to me, saith the Lord. Consider. Consider now from this day and upward, from the 24th day of the 9th month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it." And then notice what he asks in verse 19. "Is the seed yet in the barn?" So here you are, have a crop that you want to produce. And how successful are you going to be if you leave the seed in the barn? That's not where seed belongs, is it? Maybe for storing, but if you want to have some produce from it, you've got to plant it. And they weren't doing that. They were more interested in their luxurious homes. They were more interested in looking to the past and feeling down and depressed and being discouraged. They were defiled because they hadn't confessed their sins. And so he says, "Is the seed yet in the barn?" And then in verse 20, he says, "And again, the word of the Lord came to Haggai." And here it is, the fourth time. The word of God keeps coming to them and says, the work of God is being hindered. And the reason it's being hindered is because of your delay, because of your discouragement, because of your defilement, and lastly, it's because of your distrust, because you're looking at the problems and the past and the circumstances and everything else, and you're not looking at the word of God. Remember, five times in these two chapters, it says the word of God came to them. And this fourth message is given specifically to the governor here, the political leader. He is actually an ancestor of Jesus. We won't turn there, but in Matthew 1, when you read the genealogy there, you will see him listed there. God uses godly political leaders. God uses ungodly political leaders. God can use either. And so he's addressing him in verse 21. He says, "Speak to Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth. I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen. I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them, and the horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and I will make thee as a signet, as a sign. For I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts." And he was as a type of Christ that the Lord had chosen. And so this fourth hindrance to the work of God being carried on was because they were looking at problems instead of at the Word of the Lord. Let's look at four things briefly from the Word of the Lord that we should look to that will not cause the work of God to be hindered. In 1:13, it says, the last phrase, "I am with you, saith the Lord." If the Lord is with us, we don't need to be discouraged. If the Lord is with us, we don't need to be concerned about what the past was. God is with us. And when we look to the Word of the Lord, we're not going to be selfish because God is with us. Then in chapter 2, verse 4, another thing we look to the Lord, to the Word, it says, "Be strong and work." Towards the end of the verse, "Be strong and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord." And if God be for us, who can be against us? He says in verse 5, "Fear not." And so rather than fearing what is going to happen all around us, rather than delaying and being discouraged and being defiled and not trusting God, we look, what does God say? God says, "I'm with you." God says, "Fear not, be strong." Chapter 2, verse 19. A third thing he says at the end of verse 19, "From this day will I bless you." God says, if you'll put aside your selfish tendencies and be more concerned with seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then I'll add all these things to you. I will bless you if you'll put me first. But we sometimes are as stubborn as they were, aren't we? And wanting, rather than to trust God, to look to ourselves rather than asking God to meet it. And then the last thing, we look to the Word of God, and He says, "I have chosen you." What a humbling thought, isn't it? God chose us. We read that in the book of John. "You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bear fruit, and your fruit should remain there." And so we can look to our problems and we won't have much trust in God, but we can look to the Word of God that came to Haggai that he shared with them. And when we look to the Word of God, then we won't have these four hindrances in our lives. What about you this evening? Do you have these four hindrances, any of these, putting self before God, looking back instead of looking to what God has for us in the future? Is there unconfessed sin in your life? Are you looking at all the problems you have rather than looking to the Word of God? Because then came the Word of God. And we don't want to miss it, because it's in the Word of God that we have victory over discouragement. We have victory over delay. We have victory over defilement. We have victory over distrust. Our victory is in looking to the Word of God. And it came to us as well, even as it came five times to the people by Haggai. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God that comes to us. Lord, forgive us for our failures, for allowing things and self to hinder the work of the Lord being done. Help us to genuinely seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and trust you that indeed all these other things will be added unto us. Thank you that your word has come to us through the prophets and the other writers of Scripture. How blessed we are to have the Word of God, and we thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen.